I'm Edith Vale.
And I'm Maureen McGillicuddy.
And we host Another Cuppa.
It's a darling little program where we natter away with some of Australia's biggest names.
Like Poling Yao. Now, would you like a cuppa?
I would love a cuppa.
How do you take it, love?
As often as possible.
I wish.
Watch Another Cuppa on ABC iView, YouTube, or listen on ABC Listen.
Hooroo.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
When you wake up and you realise that someone looks at the world like that, you can't unsee it.
Is this worth it still? Can I still love this person? Can I still be attracted to this person who thinks this thing?
They're very tolerant of me and my beliefs, but that's because I sort of keep most of them to myself.
Political issues have a lot to do with our identity and the way we see ourselves in the world, what we think is right and wrong, things that are held really closely to what's important to us. It doesn't just feel like a difference of opinion. It feels like we're different people.
Love is a powerful force that, when manifest in a couple, can withstand aging, sickness, the sight of toenail clippings, and morning breath. Apparently. But what about political differences? Can you sustain a romantic relationship with someone who has completely opposing political opinions? Can Cupid's arrow thread links through the gaping chasm between conservative and woke? Can love find a way between gas-guzzling SUVs and earnest e-bikes? From looks-maxing to no-armpit waxing? From red baseball caps to pinkos? According to data from the Australian Election Study, younger couples are more likely to be politically mismatched than any other generation since folks born in the 1920s. In 1996, 41% of Aussie couples voted for a different party to their partner. In 2022, it was 50%. Straight people, you're more likely to grapple with this. Women are more likely to vote left and men right. And this pattern is repeated around the world. So if we're walking separate political pathways, can we still hold hands? How do couples across the political divide deal with their differences? And when do those differences become too much to bear? I'm Yumi Steins. Ladies, we need to talk about love across political lines.
We were very, very into each other very, very quickly. There was a lot of attraction and a lot of familiarity. We'd kind of jumped in quite quickly.
Ladies, meet Michelle. She's 28, and a few years ago, she reconnected, wink, wink, with an old friend. And baby, it was on.
She was very loving and affectionate, and I think the affection was something I hadn't quite experienced with other partners.
Michelle was raised by a Catholic Lebanese family. Her girlfriend was also Catholic and Italian. It had been difficult for both women to come out as gay. Despite their similarities, a few months into their intense romance, Michelle was surprised to learn that she and her partner had very different algorithms.
A lot of the people she looked to for her information about the world and for explanations on things, whether it's news or just opinions, influences, were people that I didn't support. So, you know, Jordan Peterson or other big male influencers online.
Ben Shapiro,
yes.
Mate, that guy is so gross.
Oh, Yumi, I know. And in my circles, that is a truth that is not disputed
right, or
argued. We decided long ago. I could not understand how a queer woman from my diverse background could resonate with these people. It just didn't add up in my brain.
If you're not familiar with Ben Shapiro, he's a lipless white guy, an embodied boner killer, and American commentator who's anti-abortion, anti-immigration, anti-trans rights, anti-gay marriage, and in the last few years, mostly posts videos about being pro-Israel. Disagree with his hateful stances, and there's a chance you could be accused of being a snowflake. And Michelle is exactly the kind of snowflake he's talking about.
I like to believe that my politics are informed by kindness, and I have a belief system that we should be looking after the most vulnerable within our community.
So that's code for you're a big lefty.
Yes, that is code for I'm a big lefty. Yes.
Politics comes up a lot when Michelle is hanging out with her friends. One night, her partner was over, and Michelle was discussing a story she was working on with her housemates. It was about athletes' menstrual cycles, but the discussion quickly derailed.
It erupted into a argument about what defines a woman when it comes to menstruation, and then from there progressed into broader issues based on race or discrimination.
Michelle noticed a stark contrast between how her friends and how her partner argued. While her friends were gently pushing back, her girlfriend got defensive and things escalated.
It really blew up. My friends could tell that I was uncomfortable, they were uncomfortable, and it just felt awful.
In front of Michelle was a woman she was in love with, but also one she didn't recognise.
I felt sort of blindsided, I think, and somehow trying to reconcile what I was seeing in front of me with this person who's incredibly loving and supportive when it was just us. And so I was seeing this conflict that I couldn't work out in my brain.
We've built up an understanding of someone. We've made a lot of predictions.
This is Dr. Cynthia Peacock. She's an associate professor at the University of Alabama, and her research looks at how differences in political opinions between couples can impact a relationship. According to Dr. Cynthia, the dissonance Michelle felt is called expectancy violation, when your partner, whom you assume you're politically aligned with, comes out with something that knocks you sideways.
We've sort of filled in all the blank spaces of what we expect. And when it's not there, that's very off-putting and surprising. So there's sort of pain or discomfort from them violating what we expect them to be like.
We all make assumptions about what our romantic partners believe. It's a thing. In a new relationship, we assume that their beliefs will align with ours.
So if we get along, or I think we're similar in some ways, I will tend to project that on a number of other things, right?
In a partnership, it is easy to make allowances for differences like your taste in food or music, unless they're Kid Rock fans. But Dr. Cynthia says political differences are not about taste.
Political issues, particularly social issues, have a lot to do with our identity and the way we see ourselves in the world, what we think is right and wrong, and a lot to do with things that are held really closely to what's important to us. So when we have someone who's really different on those things, it doesn't just feel like a difference of opinion. It feels like we're different people.
There are a few traits that come up in Dr. Cynthia's research of politically different relationships, like being a bit meh about politics in the first place.
For people who just don't care that much, don't really pay attention that much, are not particularly political, then it may not matter to them if their politics is different because those beliefs aren't really strong with them.
Another trait that kind of works for being in a politically different relationship is being conflict avoidant. If your partner says something you're politically opposed to and you'd rather change topics than challenge them, you're kind of in the clear, for the short term anyway.
So great, you didn't have the fight, but it doesn't necessarily mean that things work out better in the long run, because that means that maybe if you're being topic avoidant, especially if it's about something that's important to you or you really believe in, then that's going to leave your relationship feeling less satisfying because you're not getting to share your full self with someone.
I learned from a very young age how to avoid the topics that resulted in arguments.
Meet Susan. She's 38 and lives in Newcastle with her two young kids and her Liberal voting husband.
I've always voted Greens and that hasn't changed over the years. Even the more research I do into it, still the more I just want to vote for them.
When Susan and her husband met, there was an instant connection.
We were both first year at university and we actually met on the dance floor and I went home with him that night.
Wow, okay. You were in, baby. Yep. Okay, that's nice. And what were your impressions of him?
He was funny. He was really outdoorsy. He was actually in Scouts at the time.
Susan was always passionate about the environment and meeting this adventurous bloke who loved the outdoors was a real turn on.
We went canyoning, rock climbing. We had so much fun.
He was also generous and helpful.
If someone had pulled over on the side of the road with their bonnet up, he would pull over and help them.
Yeah.
Like literally get out his toolbox and help them. He was that kind of a guy.
That's pretty appealing.
Mm.
Yeah, I like that competence and I like that willingness to help.
Yeah.
So, Susan, when did you realise that you and your husband had different values around politics?
When we were younger, we sort of didn't worry too much about it. On voting day, we'd rock up, get the vote over and done with. It wasn't till down the track, I guess, when we became proper adults and discussions about what was it at the time. It was the emissions trading scheme and all that sort of stuff. Discussions came up.
So just quickly, when the emissions trading scheme was first floated in 2007, it sparked this huge public debate about capping carbon emissions for big polluters. If you're a dedicated environmentalist like Susan, with a husband who is pro-business and anti-tax, you are going to sit on opposite sides of this argument.
And then in more recent years, my husband's father joined the Liberal Party. So around the dinner table, there's lots and lots of politics chat. And they're very tolerant of me and my beliefs, but that's because I sort of keep most of them to myself.
Susan's focus is on environmental protection. But the Greens party she supports also has very different ideas about taxing the wealthy, education and welfare to the Liberals, her husband's preferred party.
I'm pretty open-minded about it, and I know that everything they do for the love of their family. They do it because they want to protect their inheritance for their grandchildren. So, you know, what can I say against that?
But then there are times when her husband's views are harder to rationalise, like when Susan was pregnant with their son and they were discussing potential names.
When we were pregnant the second time, so that was with our son, there were a lot of names on my shortlist for boys I liked. Toby, I liked Ash, I liked, I can't even remember them all now, but heaps of names.
Mm.
But every single one I suggested, he would say, no, can't have it, it's a gay name.
And is the implication there that he doesn't want a gay son? Is that the idea?
Yeah, at the time, that was the implication. But I said, you know, what's a name going to change?
Yeah. And how did that make you feel at the time?
It surprised me a little bit.
Yeah.
He's had heaps of gay friends and never says a bad thing about it, but I guess it was something that he wanted to have that special father-son bond, and if a child was gay, then perhaps he wouldn't know how to parent a gay boy.
Susan says her husband has changed his views on sexuality since then. Frankly, I should hope so. But now Susan's kids are in primary school and she's got concerns about what they'll absorb from her husband and his family's politics.
You never know what your kids are going to pick up, what influence they're going to take and run away with. My son, very much like his dad, he has the same analytical brain that he has. And my daughter is really a lot like me. She's a lot more nurturing and caring.
Susan and her husband have been together for 20 years, and part of what makes their relationship work is Susan's discretion about her political opinions.
I'm not going to be able to convince him to change anything. I really try not to go against what the conversation is saying around the family dinner because I know other people who have done that and it always just ruins the relationship.
Part of raising a kid is trying to teach them right from wrong and help them make good choices. And if those things are in conflict, that can definitely cause some problems.
Associate Professor Cynthia Peacock has looked at romantic relationships where there's a political difference. She says tolerance is tested when children come into the picture.
When there are kids in the mix, there's definitely some reason to believe that that is going to cause issues, especially if both people think what they believe is right.
The way we parent forms what academics call political socialisation. It influences how our children's political views take shape.
That's sort of everything, like learning about, you know, what is government and how does it work and what should we do to be a good citizen? So all of the basics, all the way towards your ideological perspectives and things you believe about different issues and positions.
You know how we said that not caring that much about politics means political difference has less impact on the relationship? Well, it's a bit harder not to care when you're trying to raise your little humans to be, in your subjective opinion, good humans. But even if you're concerned about your partner's political views impacting the family, Dr. Cynthia says that your concerns can be somewhat alleviated by the strength of your relationship's foundation, how long you've been together, and the investment you've made in that partnership.
Let's imagine you've been married for 30 years and you have kids together in a house. Now, what would they need to say to make you want to leave that person for that long, right? So there's a little bit of relationship algebra going on there of like, how much is this bothering me? How different is it than the person I married? That's something we hear a lot. This is not the husband or wife I started with, right? Mm. Because people change over time. So there's a lot of sort of doing the math on like, is this worth it still? Can I still love this person? Can I still be attracted to this person who thinks this thing, right?
Wow. Okay. Gee, that's interesting, isn't it? Are couples whose politics are aligned any happier than couples who are not aligned?
Yeah, there were some indications that those differences could make people less happy in their relationships. But as far as divorce rates went, they just weren't more likely to end in divorce than politically similar relationships.
But divorce doesn't tell the whole story. So Dr. Cynthia dug into how good people felt in their relationships.
Our research indicated that people who are not similar politically were less satisfied in their relationships.
To be in a relationship with someone and believe they are caring and wonderful and then learn they have a political stance that seems counter to that, well, is tricky as hell.
When our reality sort of challenges something that we think already, that's not good, and we try to find ways to deal with it.
When Dr. Cynthia says, that's not good, she means our brains don't like the mismatch. It's a concept called cognitive dissonance. Like, if you think lying to children is bad and then you lie to your children, your beliefs and your behaviours are now in conflict. So you have to tweak, justify or change either one, so beliefs or behaviour, to smooth it out. Which is why I don't think it's okay to lie to your kids unless lying to your kids means they'll leave you alone to rewatch Heated Rivalry. See, in this universe, I've very neatly adjusted my beliefs to match my behaviour and smooth out that dissonance.
So are you going to change the way you feel about your partner? Or are you going to change the way you feel about how important it is that you agree? Or are you going to change the way you think about a particular political issue? Psychology says that we're going to want to change something about that just so we don't feel off.
I was a bit extreme in some environmental aspects and he would sort of just laugh it off.
Susan, our mum from Newcastle, says being with her husband has tempered her political viewpoints.
It stopped either of us from becoming too extreme one way or another. It's also helped me to focus my own research and increase my own knowledge. So there's lots of benefits to having someone challenge your political views.
But sometimes disagreement feels less like a challenge and more like an existential threat to the relationship. Like recently when Susan and her husband had differing views about, of all things, tax policy, and her husband was riled up.
He even said the words, you know, if we're not aligned on this, Sue, I don't know. And I was like, what do you mean we're not aligned on this, you don't know, dot, dot, dot. That scared me a little bit.
But then there are the days Susan's husband appeals to her greeny sensibilities.
He often surprises me. So we were out on the boat one day and he says, hey, Sue, it's Clean Up Australia Day today. Should we do some cleanup? I'm like, yes, let's do it. And we grabbed all this rubbish off the island and loaded it into our boat so we could put it in the bin. And my sister made a comment, oh, you know how to get into her pants.
Oh, my God, totally pushing your buttons. There's that competence, the Boy Scout again, isn't it?
Yeah, he knows how to please me.
Back to Michelle, our 28-year-old from Adelaide, who was navigating her relationship with a Ben Shapiro loving girlfriend. In early October 2023, war erupted in Gaza. Being Lebanese-Australian, Michelle was particularly disturbed by the genocidal horrors and war crimes in Gaza. Seeing people who looked like her, victims of a brutal conflict, day in, day out, was awful.
And then I think when it's layered with, like, family and loved ones in that region of the world, it is incredibly heartbreaking and it feels relentless and so draining.
One day, Michelle was at a cafe with her girlfriend after a particularly hard day.
I was talking about what I was consuming and how horrific it was. And she said to me, well, that's the price of war. It felt incredibly heartless and it was incredibly painful when she said that to me. I had this rage. Like, I felt it came over me. I could not be around her and I just walked out and I was so upset. That was really confused by being in this relationship where someone gave you all this like affection and love bombing and all of that.
The ick that ensued was confusing. Michelle's relationship was full of affection and deep connection, but the dissonance was real, and Michelle couldn't shake how rattled she felt after learning about her partner's views. But she kept trying to understand.
When you are in a community that does have a lot of trauma and has experienced exclusion or discrimination in the past, I think you bend your empathy in a million different shapes to try and understand how someone got to that point.
Michelle wanted the relationship to work. She'd committed to it, and this was the first girlfriend to ever meet her parents.
There was this layered complexity of, I don't want this to look like a failure of a relationship, because I really fought to come out and try and prove that this is a normal, valid thing in the context of my family. Mm. And so I was trying very hard to make it work, but you don't forget when someone makes comments that hurt you that much.
They had conversation after conversation trying to understand and sort out their differences.
I said, I can't accept that. She would say, but I respect your opinions on things. And you can have your opinion and I'm not trying to change it and I respect where you're coming from. But I could not get out of my head how, yeah, that may be true, but I don't think my opinions are hurting other people. And so how can we put those two viewpoints on an even playing field?
And then came the next political litmus test, Australia's national referendum on an Indigenous voice to Parliament. Michelle and her friends were all in support of the voice. Her partner voted no. In mid-October 2023, the referendum failed.
One of my housemates, she is Aboriginal and felt very strongly towards a yes vote. And she said, if I found out any of our friends weren't supportive of that, I don't want them in our house. I don't want to have those discussions and do that labour of having to explain where I stood on things, sure, which I completely understand.
Yeah.
And knowing how my partner voted, I realised that I couldn't have these two people in my life. Me and my partner were fine when it was just us. We were great, but you can't live your life on an island of just two people. I want everyone in my life to be able to get on with my partner.
Yeah.
And you can't protect yourself from politics when you're participating in the world.
So, Michelle, what did you say when you ended the relationship?
It was that we cannot build a life together because we do not see eye to eye on these things.
When the relationship ended, Michelle's mates felt safe to tell her what they really thought about this person. The whole experience made Michelle reconsider just how important politics is to her. It's fed into how she approached the relationship that she's in now.
On our second date, I asked about her politics and we really did land pretty much on the same spot when it came to our politics.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I brought that up so early. It wasn't just a surface level conversation either.
Did you say, what do you think of Ben Shapiro?
You know what? I didn't ask that.
Oh my God, maybe you should.
Maybe
just
I should.
Just to be safe.
Maybe I should. I'll go do that tonight. I'll ask her what she thinks.
Ladies, I may lack perspective, but it feels like we are living in a time where being politically aware and active is more important than it has ever been in the history of democracy. It feels like whatever level of political engagement you once had, you need to double it. Now, immediately, with urgency. So, what that means for your relationship? I don't know. I can't predict it. Engage, live large. This is your one wild and precious life, and you need to run at it. Whether you're holding hands with someone or you're doing it solo. This podcast was produced on the lands of the Gadigal and Muwinina peoples. Ladies, We Need to Talk is mixed by Anne-Marie de Bettencourt. It's produced by Elsa Silberstein and Sarah Mashman. Our executive producer is Tamar Kranswick. This series was created by Claudine Ryan.